What up, y'all? It's your boy J-Mo.
My name is David McFadden, aka DJ Dowdy.
This your boy Vaughn.
This is Carl.
It's your boy Tomo, man, aka Next Level Tomo, aka your favorite Cowboys fan, aka I don't even know why I still root for the Wizards, but I'm a Wizards fan.
This is the number one Wizards fan, Devin, and you're now watching
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose, with my man Joe.
We refuse to lose.
All right, welcome to Refuse to Lose Sports. My name is Joe Jordan. I'm your host today. Today we got two great people with us. We got Carl with us and we got Javon. How you doing, Javon?
Doing good, man. Let's get to it. Let's do it and let's get active.
Let's get it. What Carl doing? Carl walking around and stuff. Carl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Just blew my nose.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. College, as y'all see, college basketball next Monday, baby.
He said he's nervous. College basketball next Monday. Let's get it. All right, y'all. So look, make sure y'all like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share this video with somebody that y'all know so they can come on and watch live with us. We're going to be talking some NFL and NBA today. We got Dino Blaze and J-Mo coming through later on in the show, midway through the show. So make sure y'all stay tuned throughout the whole show. And use that comment section. We can see all the comments y'all putting down. Y'all will be putting down throughout the show. All right, keep them comments coming. Stay active. And we will be responding to those. And last but not least, enjoy the rest of the show. So the NFL. Now, we all know that we had a great duo previous years, Super Bowl champions, right? Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. And Tyreek Hill was traded. Yeah, he got traded to the Miami Dolphins. And it was a huge shocker for the world. A lot of people didn't know how it would work for Tyreek Hill playing with Tua. A lot of people didn't know how it worked with Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill. And believe it or not, both of them are looking awesome right now. All right? So we're going to talk about who is having the more impressive season right now. Is it? And we're going to start with you, Carl. So who's having a more impressive season? Is it Patrick Mahomes or Tyreek Hill?
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. As everybody know, I always say don't bet against Mahomes. So the stuff that he's doing to me isn't quote unquote impressive. It's impressive for your average QB, but not for Mahomes. To have almost 1,000 receiving yards in this week 9, I believe Tyreek Hill has close to 1,000, I think in the 900s, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That's impressive for under 10 games, especially with a quote unquote quarterback that nobody believed in, who had a noodle arm and can't get the ball past a drag and a slant. So for Hill to have close to 1,000 yards almost first 10 weeks, that's crazy. He could be on a record pace to break most receiving yards. I don't know what that is in a season, but he's on pace because he gets the extra game, not his 17 games a season. Mm-hmm. Tua clearly showing that he's going to get Tyreek and Waddle the ball, so he's going to have ample opportunities. So, like I said, with the quote-unquote bad quarterback that he has in Miami, I would say Hill. And by the way, I'm being sarcastic. I was one of the Tua believers, so.
All right, Javon. So you, I'm surprised you picked Tyreek Hill. I'm not gonna lie. You throw me off with that one.
I kind of saw that coming. So
all right, go ahead.
I'm gonna go the opposite. I'm gonna go with Mahomes. Now, like he said, he didn't expect nothing. Like he didn't expect nothing different really from Mahomes because that's Mahomes. I feel the same way about Tyreek Hill, to be honest. Fastest guy in the league. Pretty like literally, he's impossible to check. A lot of people saying Tua, I didn't hear too much about Tua being a bad quarterback. It was just he didn't have an arm really. That was the biggest thing really that I kept hearing. So the biggest thing was Patrick Mahomes' arm made it. So Tyreek Hill, once he beat somebody deep, he's gonna hit him every time. I mean, now you see him coming back to the ball a lot of times when Tua throws them bombs. But I'm going to go with Mahomes, man. And the reason why I'm going to go with Mahomes is because a lot of people thought he couldn't do this without having that over-the-top threat on Tyreek Hill, the guy that stretches the field, the guy that makes the defense disciplined because they know Tyreek Hill can break it. And he's still killing. He's still showing everybody he can do this. Now, I do think he still has some decent receivers. He doesn't have no stars, but he got some guys that can get the job done. But I'm going to say for Hill, the Dolphins are actually throwing the ball more than when he was with the Chiefs, really. So they're actually using him more, which I was expecting, because they don't have much but him and Waddle as far as the receiving core. I mean, Gesicki is decent, but he doesn't come to play every game. He's not Kelce or nothing. I mean, it's been times with the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill only get like four passes thrown to him just because he got other guys out there. So I'm going to go with Mahomes, man. I mean, the dude throwing for 2,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions already. He's leading the league in QB rating. I mean, he got some major wins against some good teams. Even though, I mean, when we saw him against San Fran, I mean, the dude getting it done against the best, some of the best of the best. I mean, he's pulling out more tricks this year than I ever seen from any quarterback. I mean, that pass, I forgot what team that was playing, but that play when he spent off the dude, stiffed on them, right in front of
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. He spent off and threw that. That was unbelievable, man. I mean, he's been doing unbelievable stuff all year, but he's pulling out even more tricks. His mechanics aren't the best, but he's letting people know he's still that guy. And right now, he's still that guy. And without Tyreek Hill, he ain't missed a beat.
Can I rebuttal? I just want to rebuttal and make it. I don't want to make it seem like what Mahomes isn't doing. What Mahomes is doing isn't impressive. But what I'm saying to you is, like, I don't expect nothing less from Mahomes. So, like, the fact that he's doing what he's doing, I already expect it. Now, what I'm saying is, yes, I understood that most of the media was like, or most of the people was like, oh, Tyreek Hill made Mahomes, which was blasphemous to me. I think I even said that in episodes past. The thing I was saying by being sarcastic with bad quarterback with Tua was, like I said, they said he had a noodle arm and he ain't going to be able to do nothing but throw drags and slants, which that's not the case. Like, if you watch, he's been pretty accurate on deep balls. It's just, I guess, him getting used to some of Tyreek's speed. Like I said, it's hard to get used to that speed. Like, even with Waddle, it looked like he's more accurate towards Waddle because Waddle isn't as fast as Hill. So Hill has to wait for a couple of them sometimes. But him and Tyreek are good. Tyreek has been – that's what I'm saying. Tyreek has been way more extraordinary to me than Mahomes has been. I don't want to downplay – but I don't want to make it seem like I'm downplaying what Mahomes is doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to go with Mahomes. All right, this is tough, though. I think I would have given a nod to Tyreek Hill if they would have won without Tua. But they didn't win without Tua. They actually lost every game without Tua. And but I know you said you expect Patrick Mahomes to do what he's doing. Not really, because he actually on track to do what he did when he won MVP. All right? And he only did that one time. Right now, he on pace to have more yards than he had when he won MVP. And he on pace to have 49 touchdowns while having a higher completion percentage than he had when he won MVP. So he's going to try to have his greatest year ever. So is Tyreek Hill. But one thing that's down on Tyreek Hill numbers, he only got 2 TDs the whole year. That's it. Mm-hmm. 1 year with Patrick Mahomes, he had 15 touchdowns. All right? So that's my downside on Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill, by a mile, he's up in receiving yards, by a mile, on track to get over 2,000. He's number one in receptions. But he also got the most targets, too. Right? He got, like, 90-something targets this year so far. So, I mean, so that plays a part of it. And I think Tyreek Hill the best receiver in the NFL. Some of y'all don't agree. I think he is. Yeah. I think what he does best is by far better than what everybody else does best. Kind of like Steph Curry. All right. But Patrick Mahomes, he's on another level. And just like you always say, Carl, I'm with you, man. Going forward, I probably would never bet against Patrick Mahomes for real. All right. Like, yeah. Patrick Mahomes is legit the most talented quarterback ever in NFL history. I know people say Aaron Rodgers, but he like that play you just said, Javon, the Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers not doing that. This dude threw a jump. It was a jump shot for real. He did, like, he should shoot a ball in the trash can. That's what he did for a touchdown. You know, so I think Mahomes, even though I know he's the best quarterback, he's still impressing me. So that I gotta give it to Patrick Mahomes. You know, so plus he don't have he got Kelce. But he's spreading the ball around also. He's doing this with a bunch of, not saying average, but above average receivers. And he's still getting the job done. So I'm going to give it to Mahomes.
I just want one more thing. It's a reason why I picked the Chiefs to be number one, Joe. It wasn't nobody but Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. Because I don't want no Eagles fan coming in. Oh, we number one in the AFC. That's the reason why I picked them to be number one in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, yeah, I just want to flip one more thing on you. You said Hill didn't win without Tua, but yet he had 3 games, I think, without Tua and still close to 1,000 yards within week 9. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's tough. But, you know, TDs put points on the board, you know?
That's true.
And he only got two touchdowns. So, and J-Mo had J-Mo in the comments said he will have more TDs if Tua not underthrow him. Exactly. That's true.
He underthrow him all the time on them deep balls. That's why I understand why you said he's accurate.
I explained it. That's why I explained it.
No, I understand the speed part, but he still underthrows him a mile. It's not like he'd be like Tyreek Hill having to come back to that joint.
But, yeah, that's what I said.
And wait for it.
That's what I said. I said he's been more accurate than Waddle. That's what I said. He's been more accurate than Waddle because he's not as fast. Huh?
Waddle don't go deep all the time. Waddle is more the intermediate catches guy. Tyreek Hill more the deep guy. I don't think Waddle even have that many deep ball catches though, to be honest, this year.
He got,
I have to check that stat.
But I don't know.
He be catching and running. That's what he did it last year.
And he a big red zone target for Tua too. Waddle.
Yeah.
But that's why I said he'd be more accurate to Waddle because Waddle's a tad bit slower. So you can get used to Waddle. And he played with Waddle in college.
And he played last year with him too.
But
and
he
and
also,
in college, yeah.
Yeah, he played with Waddle in college. So he's more that used to sense. Waddle than it is Hill. That's why I said he's more accurate with him. But Hill, he still got to get used to it.
Right. Yeah. And with me, right, with this question, there's no knock on nobody. Both of them are very impressive right now. Like Tyreek Hill is the most impressive receiver this year. And I think Patrick Mahomes is playing like the most – no, probably Geno Smith. Is playing probably the most impressive QB. But Tyreek Hill is definitely playing. And then also another thing to help Tyreek Hill, we talk about Mahomes got Kelsey, Tyreek Hill got Waddle. They both in the top five. Both of them got more yards than Cooper Kupp. Like, think about that. All right, Cooper Kupp gets target. He's second in target. You know that's all Matthew Stafford throws it to. And they both got more yards than Cooper Kupp. Like,
that could be another segment.
That's crazy that he has more – targets than Cooper Kupp when we see how many times he's been throwing the ball. That's why I said I'm impressed with Hill, but I feel like they throwing him the ball way more. It's like, what you wish supposed to do when you got a guy like that? You're supposed to feed him, which I don't know why people don't do that with their guys more often, to be honest.
Derek Carr?
Devontae's too busy pushing cameraman to get open.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so two
looking at that Aaron Rodgers picture, I'll tell you that right now. He on the bed like this, looking at that Aaron Rodgers picture.
Yeah, that's crazy how they like this receiver and quarterback duo looking better, you know, without each other, and this other receiver quarterback looking worse without each other. That's crazy, right? It's like the same situation. Only difference is Aaron Rodgers don't have a Kelsey. That's the only difference, you know. So
he got a Tonyan.
It's like that boy in and out the lineup, ain't he?
Tanya always hurt. He's hurt last year, too. This man.
Oh, man. All right. Man.
All right. So, look, thank y'all for being on. Like this video. If you haven't liked the video, hit the like button. If you're on Facebook, we're on Facebook, Too Loud, and Twitter. Make sure y'all like it. If you're on Twitter, retweet it. Share this video with somebody that y'all know so they can come on and watch with us. We're going to keep going with the football. And subscribe if you haven't subscribed, right? We've been a little stagnant in the subscribers. We got to get them things up. Get it to 1,000. We can give out better content. We get to 1,000. All right. So we need some help with 1,000. Tell a friend, tell a family member, and we get that up. All right. So our next question. All right. Next question. So the playoff picture is looking, you know, I look at the playoff picture on AOC, NFC, and we just know that's not how it's going. That's not how it's going. So now, of course, all right. Let me just let y'all go. Javon, you kick us off right here. Which playoff team? Which team that's not in the playoff picture right now will make the playoffs when it's all said and done?
Okay. Like you said, man, some guys that's up there that we know ain't going to be there at the end. Falcons. So I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Bucks. I feel like Tom Brady, you know, the divorce is finalized. It's out there. It's out the way. He doesn't really have to deal with all the extra stuff. I think that's going to be a load off of him. And I feel like they're getting key players back, even though they do have some guys out right now. But I think they have the best chance because, I mean, the Falcons are leading their division right now. And I don't think they're going to be able to sustain that. The Panthers, no. They're not going to do nothing. So I really think the Bucks have the best chance due to their division, really. They have the closest race, I believe, right now. That's like 3-4, 2-5, 4-3.
I was about to say, I think the Falcons like 4-3, 4-4, something like that.
I think they 4-3. Who the other team are they?
No, the Falcons 4-4.
Saints.
Saints 2-5 or something like that. Like, come on, man. I think the Bucs have the best chance because they got a lot of guys coming back. And I feel like Tom Brady is a guy that I can believe in that can rally the troops. So, hey, Tomo, hey, man, come on, man. Don't do that to me, man.
Hey, Tomo, I thought we was cool, man.
The crazy thing is, I was going to say the Steelers, but I just don't like, you know, talking about my
is that really crazy?
Now. It's not crazy.
For you, it's not.
No, I'm sad. Like, you know, and I don't want that impression. Oh, yeah, it's Javon. So, you know. I like the Bucs though because their division isn't that tough. The Falcons, I don't think they're gonna sustain that lead because they got some tough games ahead of them. Like we played them when T.J. Watt come back. I think the Commanders got them. Then they got the Ravens. Don't they got y'all too, Carl?
Who the Bucs? Falcons. Not the Bucs. The Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played them. I think we played the Saints this week. I think it's a bye. I think it's the Panthers.
Oh yeah, yeah, y'all played the whole division. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember when. I can't remember if it's late November or early December we played the Falcons. I was right. Looking up the NFC South for you.
So,
but to answer your question, the Falcons are 4-4, the Bucs are 3-5, the Saints are also 3-5, and the Panthers are 2-6.
See, I got the Bucs.
The Bucs.
Yeah, due to the poor, terrible division, they're the new NFC least.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Now, just like you, Javon, I'm not gonna mention the Commanders. All right, I'm gonna pick some other side of my team. So I'm going with the Packers.
I'm picking the Packers.
I think Green Bay is gonna turn it around. I like what I saw against Buffalo. It reminded me of Buffalo last year. I don't know if y'all remember. Buffalo played the Bucs last year. Terrible first half. Second half, they got it together. They still lost, but then they won the winning streak after that game. All right, so I look at the Packers. The reason why they're losing is because, number one, they're not running the ball. Just start there. They're not running the ball at all. All right, they abandon the run too much. They keep the penalties short, these quick slants, these screen passes for their run attack when they got Aaron Jones and Dylan. And on number two, drops. They're number two in the NFL in drops. So it's not like they're not in position to make plays. They're just not making the play. Like against us, I know people say our defense showed up, but it was multiple times when they were dropping balls on third down, like wild balls. They dropped a TD against us also. All right, so that's their issue is not they're not good enough. Let me say that. All right, so when I look at the Bills game, in the first two drives they had a lot of passing, right? You know, getting off the field real quick, and then the TD drive. 14 play drive, 5 passes, 9 rushes, TD. Right? And then the second half, they were down the whole second half, but yet they ran the ball way more than they did throwing the ball. Aaron Jones had his season high in carries, 20. He had a season high in rushing with like 147. So that's just they created a formula right there, you know. So I think going forward, and then I look at their schedule, and then also their defense in the second half held the Bills to 3 points, 2 interceptions. So I think even though they lost that game, it's kind of like a turnaround game. So I think that, and I look at their schedule, they got the Lions, Cowboys, Titans, Eagles, Bears, bye week, Rams, Dolphins, Vikings, Lions. Now, Eagles going to be tough. Vikings probably be tough. Dolphins, but you could say Cowboys, but I think all those games, even the Eagles, because by the time they meet the Eagles might, I don't think they will be, but they might still be undefeated. And you know, you play an undefeated team, the pressure is on them. So I think all those games are winnable by Green Bay, all those games. I do think they will beat the Vikings the second time. I'm not a believer of the Vikings, y'all. I'm really not. I don't think, I know they're 6-1, I think, right? Or 7-1?
Yeah, 6-1. 6-1.
They 6-1. I'm not a huge believer of the Vikings. Maybe it might bite me in the back of the season, but I don't think they're gonna keep up with these winning ways. Let me say that. All right. So I'm gonna roll with the Packers to make the playoffs.
All right. So I was gonna go with the Packers at first, but I had really no rhyme and reason behind it. I was just gonna say, I picked them number one. I don't wanna look bad and I don't bet against A-Rod. So I'm gonna stick to the same division as Javon and I'm gonna go with the Saints. Saints, they missing Marshon Lattimore. They're missing Jarvis Landry. I mean, now Michael Thomas is out for the year, so I can't even bring him up no more. But they're missing two key guys. Chris Olave has done well stepping up in the place of both Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. You're missing a key corner like Marshon Lattimore, but you go and get a Chris Harris, who has been playing fantastic since being in New Orleans. Now you get those. If you get Marshon back, you can put those two together. That's a really good cornerback door right there. You have a schedule of the Ravens, which L. Saint Steelers, W. L.
I beg to differ. Don't say Steelers. Say T.J. Watt.
Okay, say it with whatever your chest. You want to say. Whatever helps you sleep at night, but it's still a W. Rams could very well be a W with that D-line. 49ers, okay, I'll get them an L on that one because the 49ers are revamped. Buccaneers, the Saints and Bucks the best. Falcons, that could be a W. Browns with Deshaun Watson, can be a W because maybe Deshaun Watson doesn't have his rhythm, his timing together, you know, the plays, everything like that. That could be a W. The Eagles, I'll give it an L. Even though Kamara could run crazy with Jordan Davis if he's not back. That was the whole rhyme and reason of me trying to take Damian Pierce over before I took it off. Jordan Davis not in that D-line. The Eagles run game becomes run defense becomes suspect. And then the Panthers, which that can be a W. So that can help turn their schedule, to flip the record around. The division's already weak, and they can sneak in the back door and get a divisional spot. And so I'm going to go with the Saints.
I like that pick. Not I think the Saints could beat out the Bucks for the division. They got pieces. They just hurt, like you said. They just hurt, you know, on both sides of the ball. So when does Lattimore come back? Do you know or no?
No idea.
All right. So
and he's not on the injury report. That's either a good or a bad thing. It's either he's on short-term IR or he's coming back this week.
Yeah, because they put Michael Thomas on IR. He's done for the season, basically. He's not coming back. You know, so – yeah. All right. Cool. Both of y'all picked the NFC South team, the Bucks, and then the Bucks, Javon. Like, it's hard for me to pick. They've been hurt, but I don't think they're gonna get healthy. Like, for real. Like, they got players in and out the lineup. That's how I look at the Bucks, and the offensive line is shot still. And Tom Brady is not the same when it's offensive line. But they also have drop issue too. They won the top teams in drops also. So,
hey, Kev, can I just say this real quick? I mean, it looked like y'all missed him last night. Damian Pierce ran for like 130.
Exactly. I was about to say that rushing attack looked terrible. I remember Steven looked terrible yesterday.
It did, though.
It looked bad.
I mean, once he went out against us, that's when Najee started getting some yards, too.
He put a stat in the chat that showed that Jordan Davis led that run defense early in the season.
I mean, it's quite obvious. He's the biggest guy on y'all line. Yeah, deep tackle.
Yeah, Jordan Davis is something different. He's something different. So he's a big dude. And he out. So he out for at least four to six weeks,
I think.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks. Another three to five weeks. So that's tough for the Eagles. And I'm not saying that Eagles gonna lose to the Packers. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a winnable game. You got a veteran quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, he did the same thing last year. Went into an undefeated home turf and he beat them, you know, undermanned. He didn't have this top three receivers that game. So perfect, like it's all about game planning. And then the Eagles, they can be beaten. I mean, you just had to, you know, they got to come across a good quarterback. I'm trying to think, what good quarterback have they played this year so far?
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
You say good or elite?
Kirk Cousins.
I was going to say, because you said elite, I wasn't going to say Kirk. But if you say
Kirk is the only one that's eligible to be good, right? For real. They didn't really play a good quarterback. So I'm not down on the Eagles. I don't want to get all emotional and stuff in the comments. I'm not saying y'all bad. I'm just saying that y'all can be beaten by Aaron Rodgers, you know? So,
well, team that runs the ball, which they have a pretty good damn running tandem in Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon.
Exactly. You know, and without, like you said, without Jordan Davis, that's going to be
the Lions game is another example. Swift was going crazy against the Lions when Jordan Davis wasn't in the game. Jordan Davis getting the game, it was like 2 yard run.
It was crazy. That first game, he didn't even play half the snaps. I don't think Jordan Davis against the Lions.
They rotate their line so much.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but I know a lot of Eagles fans were mad about that. It was Wentz. I'm gonna say Wentz. Don't even talk about Wentz right now. All right, he hurt. All right, don't kick a man while he's down. A man is already hurt. All right. So Carl, you a Ravens fan or you about to hop off? Ravens fan? I know we didn't get a chance to talk about your Ravens, but I, you know, before everybody get off, they gotta get some words for their squad. So talk to us.
Shoot, Ravens Nation. We played the Saints Monday night. No Michael Thomas. I wanted us to go out to William Jackson, but hey, the Steelers beat us to the punch. So I hope he sucks now. So you know, hopefully Roquan Smith helps us out a lot because we've been having leads, and hopefully now that we can hold them, we got the lead tackle in NFL. And find a way to pay both Roquan and Lamar. Other than that, let's stay the course, 5-3. Not the way we expected it to be, 5-3, but as number one in the division, we'll take it. Let's just figure some things out, keep it pushing, and then have a great December and carry that momentum into the playoffs.
How excited are you about that pickup?
I was screaming like shit in the, ooh. No, no word. I was screaming like a mug in the work truck when we made that trade.
Yeah, that's a good pickup for y'all. Good pickup.
It definitely is.
He's like the picture perfect Raven at linebacker to me.
He is, though. Great tackler.
I was actually happy for you when I saw that.
Yeah, because the D line, he ain't going to have no room to get to the second level because y'all run game ain't going to be stifled. You got to get to the second level for Roquan to make tackles.
I ain't going to lie. I was okay. Really happy for you when I got that notification. I really was, though. I was happy to post it. I'm like, Carl going to be happy when you see this.
Very much so.
Yeah, everybody has injuries. Okay.
Yeah, that is a fact.
Everybody big enough injuries, everybody's injured.
That's a fact.
Okay? Oh, yeah. We,
if every team was healthy, it would probably be a different season. But the name of the game is next man up.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
That's are the best teams.
I'm glad you brought that up because Bateman's out for the season. So, Ravens, let's do what we normally don't do and go get a receiver, please.
Yeah, he out for the season. That's crazy.
Y'all get kick returners. Then y'all try to make receivers.
Why are you mad? Because I can't even say that. I would be lying.
Yeah, you will be. No. I know you're about to say
I have the greatest respect for Deontay Johnson, so I'm not gonna lie.
Deontay Johnson, oh yeah, I like him too. I got him in my fantasy, but I need Kenny Pickett or Matt Cannon, whoever it is, to draw some more stuff up for him. That's what I need. All right, Carl, appreciate you for coming on. Javon, where you gonna stay put?
Yes,
I'm gonna play this commercial so we can get some time for the other two to come on, and then we rock an NBA when we come back.
Let's get all right.
Enjoy. Yeah, have a good show.
Let's get it.
I see
all
you
right.
In the comments.
Sure, of course.
I know.
Yo, my name is Lambo Anlo.
This is Dimitri.
This is Ed Hahn.
My name is Daryl Julian, and this is
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Mind it can't be diffused. If you ain't thinking the same, then we playing by different rules. You can't see the vision, we living in different views. Until we complete the mission, keep getting up, never snooze. I walk the mile in my shoes, had the mind of a fool. Chasing diamonds and jewels, trust me, I was confused. Started minding my business and used my mind as a tool. End up finding my purpose and found a time to get to it. They told me I couldn't do it, they told me I couldn't make it. They sold it, could never break it, that's sadly mistake. And I need a piece of the pie. I want it so bad I can taste it. They told me like told me. Keep on running toes, they gon' take them. Refuse to lose, no Dwayne. Apply myself, I felt it in. No time for the doubt, they counted me out. I'm getting it in, yeah. No time for no loss, I pay for the cost. I'm winning to win, yeah. Refuse to lose, I'm built to win. Apply myself, I felt it in. No time for the doubt, they counted me out. I'm getting it in, yeah. No time for no loss, I'm paying the cost, I'm ready to win, yeah. Refuse.
All right, okay, Edge. All right, we got J-Mo with us. What's up, J-Mo?
What's going on, bros? How y'all feeling?
Feeling good.
Hey, look, excuse my hat, man. I caught the topic today, and I'm just like, this is the only way the Lakers going to look good. So let me go ahead and rock.
You better take that off or something be up in your head now.
All right, cool. So look, y'all. Like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share this video with somebody that you know personally so they can come on and watch live with us. Keep using our comment section. We can see all the comments y'all putting down. Bulls Nation, we see you, Cardo. Y'all looking good. So we are 500 team, but y'all look good against the Nets, at least. All right, so.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't? Yeah, keep using those comments, y'all. We can see all the comments y'all putting down. And last but not least, enjoy the rest of the show. So Blaze gonna come on for the Lakers topic, all right? He a Lakers guy, you know, so he'll come up with a Lakers topic. But before we get to the Lakers, we're going to talk about the Eastern Conference, all right? So, matter of fact, both of y'all teams in the Eastern Conference. Mine not. I'm in the West, you know. Wish you were in the East. You feel me? we have an easy chance to get to the playoffs. All right, so we're going to talk, and Jamo, we're going to kick it to you first, all right?
Okay.
The best team in the Eastern Conference. East is kind of, you know, it's not the weak conference no more. I mean, West is more, they got more teams that can fight for the playoffs, but the East is top heavy. I think it's top heavy for real. So, Jamo, who's the best team in the East right now?
All right. I think the best team in the East is the team with the best player in the NBA, the Bucks. I think the Bucks are the best team. I mean, just to start off, you know, they're 7-0. They're undefeated. You know, I think people pick and choose when they want to say it's too early. You know, when a team looks good, they say it's too early. But when their team looks good, it's like, yeah, we're undefeated. So I don't care how early it is. They're 7-0. You know what I mean? They're looking good, and they don't even have Chris Middleton. We saw all that praise that the Celtics team got last year, and Giannis took them 7 games without his second-best player. So, I mean, enough said for me. I feel like the Bucks. I'm comfortable with saying the Bucks are the best team. They're not like head and shoulders above everybody, but, you know, I feel like they're the best team in the league. I mean, not in the league, in the Eastern Conference. You know, even though Boston did what they did last year, I think him taking them 7 games without his second-best player just shows that, yeah, they still the team to beat in the East to me.
All right. All right, Jerron, you want to go?
Yeah, I got to agree with you, brother.
Okay.
Man, it's hard not to. They undefeated, like you said. They beating everybody. They got a plus 11 in point differential. They're the best defense in the league. Top 5 rebounding team, I believe. Top 5 in blocks. I mean, what else can you say? They got the best player in the league on their team, the best defensive guard on their team. And like you said, Middleton is out. They have a unit like them. They've been together. I think they brought back all their whole team. They probably got like one new player, I think. They're just like us. We brought back the Magic. We brought back almost every like 12, 14 players, and so did the Bucks. So that shows cohesiveness. They know each other. They can ball together. And I'm pretty sure they have a chip on their shoulder from last year. Chris Middleton went down. They saw the Celtics go and win, and they took them to 7 without Chris Middleton. So they like, we know we better. So I really agree with you, and I would say the Bucks, due to the fact they have the best player, they don't have their second best player, the best defense in the league, best rebounding team. They have so many mismatches with their size, and they don't have their second best player. So I'm definitely going with the Bucks, and it's hard for me not to go with nobody else.
All right. All right, y'all kind of surprised me with it. It's not surprising, but y'all surprised me with the Bucks. I'm not going to lie. I ain't know James was going to say the Bucks, though.
I ain't either, though. I ain't going to lie. I thought you were going to say
y'all. All right. I'm going with the Celtics. I think it's the Celtics. All right. So I'm picking the Celtics. And I know we said that, you know, Giannis took them 7 games. And this player is not on Giannis' caliber of, you know, starting this, but they barely had Robert Williams that whole series, which is one of their best defensive players. So we got to remember that too. Now, the Celtics, they have the right playoff team. So I look at it. They got the right playoff team. You know, they got switchable players, 1 through 5. They got shooters, 1 through 5. And they got length, 1 through 5. All right? So that's what I like about them. So, and adding Brogdon, like you said, they brought back everybody from last year also. They just added Malcolm Brogdon, really. And they would have had Gallinari, but he got hurt. All right, I'm mad he tore Achilles, or ACL, whatever it was. So they got Malcolm Brogdon, who's been playing pretty good so far this season, but, you know, it's early in the season. And they right now, they don't have Middleton. They don't have Robert Williams right now. Robert Williams is going to be out for like the first month. So by the time play, and then their coach is going to be another protege, either protege or Udoka. I don't think they're going to miss a beat when it comes to what happened last year. So when they get to the playoffs, all right, they got two players, Jason Tatum and matter of fact, let me block this person for y'all. There we go. All right. Somebody going crazy in the comments. I had a blogger. All right, so they got two players, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who could take over the game anytime. I know we can say that about probably Giannis and Middleton, but Jason Tatum and Brown can score any aspect of the floor. They could go to the basket, they score the dribble, they can catch and shoot, they can bring the ball up and play the point at times. Jaylen Brown, I don't know, you know, he lost the ball a few times last year in the playoffs. But I just think that right now, because of the defense, I know that right now statistically Bucks are the best defense team, but it's in the East, it's really the Celtics when it's all said and done, in my opinion. So that's what I got.
Well, I don't think you can just like say that, you know, and not think you're gonna have an argument against you. Like, you forget Middleton is a two-way player as well. He's not just the offensive player.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got length too. His arm's long. So like you said, Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, like they got some like and then what you said about Tatum and Brown scoring in a variety of ways, that's true. They can score in a more variety of ways, but Not one way that they score is as dominant as the way Giannis scores. Giannis in the paint equals like three different ways of them scoring. That's how dominant he is. So, you know, I mean, like, that's a good argument you put up, but I'm taking the Bucks.
Yeah. And against the playoff thing, I mean, I understand Robert Williams is out, and that's a big piece of them. That's Time Lord. I mean, he blocks everything. I mean, I thought so many shots was about to go in, but he just
Time Lord. Them.
It's crazy. But you got to know that the Bucks, their offense, when they're at their best, is when Chris Middleton and Giannis are running pick and roll. It's unstoppable. Once he come off that pick, Chris Middleton can either shoot it, or he can dish it to Giannis, or he can dish it to other guys. And that's what's going to make them lethal. And I feel like that's why they're the best, man. The way that Giannis is so relentless, and he has a guy like Chris Middleton that's skilled, that can do the things that Jason Tatum and the Jaylen Browns can do. And he has the Jrue Holiday. So I like the additions that the Celtics got, but I don't think the coach is going to be as firm as Udoka. But I do think they're going to miss a little beat because they're already, I mean, it's the beginning of the season. Their points that they're allowing is 10 plus from last year. So we're going to see.
Oh, dang. He was going in.
Two things, Joe. I wanted to say two things. One, hopefully one of those players on the Celtics can take what Udoka gave them and, you know, become a better leader than whoever the leader was in the play. I still don't even know. People say it's Marcus Smart, but, you know, I guess he's the closest, but, you know, we don't know. You know, a lot of people say the coach is the leader and the coach is gone. So one of those guys is going to have to step up and be the leader. And two, I want to give some love to Cleveland. I think somebody in the comments says they like the Cavs. I like the Cavs as well. I think I was on the phone with you earlier, maybe yesterday, Joe, and I said, what's stopping Cleveland Cavaliers from, you know, beating the Celtics in a 7-game series? You know, like Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs is an amazing player. I mean, he's like top 6 or 7 all time in points per game in the playoffs. Darius Garland, another great young player. Jared Allen got hurt last year. That's the only reason why they fell down in the playoff season. So, you know, I want to show Cleveland some love. I think they have a good chance of being like top 2 or 3 seed in the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. They got a nice team. And they match up well with anybody also because they got that size. And and they got 2 scores. But I do want to address something y'all said. Not something y'all said, but the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went 7 games with the Bucks, but – watching that series, the Celtics were the dominant team. They just couldn't close those games they lost. They just couldn't close. And one of the main reasons why they couldn't close, they ain't got no point guard. So having Brogdon, I'm not saying Brogdon is Chris Paul, but Brogdon is a better decision maker than Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
So I think having Malcolm Brogdon on the squad, they're not going to be having those meltdowns they had against the Bucks. Remember that game with Jrue Holiday? Stole the ball from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart messed that whole game up. 2 possessions straight. You know, got a ball stolen from him and got a ball stolen twice, matter of fact. He blocked it the first time, and then he got the rebound. So if Brogdon was in the game, I don't think that would happen. So that's another reason why.
I like that, though. I like that point you brought up because – Jaylen Brown and Tatum, they both were turnover machines in the playoffs last year. It's going to take the ball out of their hands. But it's just hard for me to see them beating the Bucks due to the Giannis' effect. He's just so relentless. Yeah, he almost beat them last year by himself. And if he had Middleton, it's like it's hard to contain both of them. Because Middleton, in the playoffs, he shows up, man. He comes, he can play with the best of them. So it's going to be a good matchup. I really want to see them two play again. Before I would rather see them two play over the Nets playing again, to be honest. Because I feel like that those two heavyweights on the defensive end hit the boards hard. They play kind of the same style. So,
yeah,
I think those are two. They're on the collision course right now. The two best teams in the East, to be honest. One team I do want to give some recognition to. I talked bad, not bad, but I talked about them in the before the season started. But I talked to you yesterday, Joe, and I told you it's about the Cavs. I told you. Because at first I said I didn't know how Garland and Donovan was going to look. But I told you what I said. I said the fact that Garland went out, it was good for them because they let Donovan go out there. And he had to worry about that. He could just be himself and establish himself with the team in a couple of games. Garland comes back, pure point guard, just slides right there. So I like what I'm seeing from the Cavs. They're a top defensive team, too, with two guys that can get buckets. So it's going to be a great playoffs. And those three teams right there, I think one out of those three, one of them coming out the East.
It's crazy. Jay was when you
Joe, you didn't think I was gonna get through this segment without bringing them Sixers up. Don't even try. Listen.
Oh Lord.
Prayers up for my man James Harden. We hoping for a speedy recovery.
It's not severe though, so y'all good.
Yeah, it's not severe, man. Hey, look, the good news is we know he can give us 30. If we need 30, he can give us 30. That's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is Maxie is picking every three games to do his thing. So, you know, we still got to figure that out. There's nothing going on with my team that has me terrified. You know, all of these are just kinks that you normally have to figure out through the season when you have a new team. And my point still stands, Tobias Harris has to go.
Yeah.
The contract is too much. He's making too much money to be giving us, what, 16 points a game. And even if he is giving us 16 points, it's not the 16 points we need. You know, we don't need 16 of his. Give me the ball. Let me do my thing in the mid-range. You know, we got B, Harden, and Maxie on the floor. Like, we don't need that. He's a good player. He'd do great with somebody else, but Sixers, we looking good. I still like us. It hasn't changed. I just think the Bucks are the best right now. Let's keep it.
Let's get it. All right, so two Bucks and one Celtic. All right, so we're going to go to our last topic. Before we do that, make sure y'all like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share this video with someone that you know personally so you can come on and watch live with us, and use that comment section. I like y'all using that comment section. We appreciate that. Keep them comments coming, all right? And last but not least, enjoy the rest of the show. So we got Blaze coming on with us. What's up, Blaze? Are you on mute? You're muted.
What's up, fellas?
What's good?
What do you do?
How y'all doing? I'm good. Right. I'm good. I'm having a little trouble over here. My service is pretty subpar at best.
Oh no, you on our end, you good.
You good. Oh, okay, okay. Cool. As long as I ain't
they're up, pretty Laker so. Right now.
I don't care if I can't hear it. As long as y'all get the message, that's all that matters.
All right. I'm at 8 pointed too. All
right. Man, what?
All right, it's going. All right. So look, Westbrook is coming off the bench now. All right. He's coming off the bench. And since he's been coming off the bench, they've been undefeated. Right. They won their only two games with him coming off the bench, and he's been a light changer for that organization. All right. So we're gonna talk about, is that the move that was needed to be made for them to make the playoffs? Like, will they make the playoffs now? Are we confident? Are them making the playoffs now? They made this move, and we're gonna start with you, Blaze.
Ricardo, I see your comment, but yeah, I think we are. I love what I see from the transition that we just made. Being biased, I guess, because I'm a Lakers fan, I would like to think that they would have made it even if they didn't make the move to put Russ on the bench. You know, I feel like that Darvin Ham would have found a way to make it work. I really believe in Darvin Ham. I'm big on him. And Ham we trust. So, the move, them taking Russ to the bench is, and even I think when it first happened, I kind of agreed with it. You know, like, and I see he's buying into it. So I feel like that's a great move, because one thing that was failed to do last year is Russ has to have the ball in his hand. He's not an off-ball player. He's not a shooter. Like, he has to have the ball in his hands. And not saying that he has to dominate the ball, but he has to be the guy that's orchestrating the plays in some way or fashion. He can make the first pass. He ain't always got to make the assist, but he has to have the ball. And last year, I guess I kind of thought that he would be able to figure out how to play off ball more, but maybe the team wasn't tailored enough for that, or maybe he just wasn't able to figure that part out with the team and the coaching staff they had last year. But nevertheless, Darvin Ham found a way to have Russ in the game and effective. He's still playing starting minutes. He's still averaging 32, 33 minutes a game, the games he was coming off of the bench. But him being able to orchestrate that second unit when the first unit maybe sometimes is a little stagnant, because LeBron James hasn't, I don't think he has his legs or everything up under him yet, because he's not in mid-season form. And usually where I'm used to him coming out in the beginning of the season and just taking off running. Not saying he's playing bad. He's not playing bad, but he's not aggressive as he usually is. A lot of times, like the game the other night, I don't think he even took a shot until like the second quarter or late first quarter. That, or if he did, he only took a couple of field goals. Huh?
That's been an ongoing thing with him this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
fine, slow. My bad. Go ahead, Blaze.
Yeah, so I feel like he's not being aggressive enough, but so that's a way to put the game against Minnesota. The first game Russ came off the bench, he played pretty good in my opinion, but the whole team didn't play that well throughout 48 minutes of the game. The second game against Denver, and I didn't know what to expect because they had previously lost to Denver. Denver is a solid team. We know what they have. They have Murray, they have Jokic, and we're still trying to figure out what we have. The difference in that game was, when Russ came into the game off of that bench, they went on like a 13-2 run. You know, they scored like 16 straight points. And that set the tone for the rest of the game. So them already being up by 8 when Russ was orchestrating to have and everybody play and piggyback off of him, when LeBron did come back in the game, all he had to do was just fall in and keep the lead, keep going. And they played Russ and LeBron. And they play Russ and LeBron together a lot in the games, but not like they did last year. They do it in more spurts this year. They don't do it as far as all game. Them two are going to be on the floor together. Like, they do it more so in spurts. And that's pretty much Darvin Ham trying to get the most use out of Russ, because he needs the ball. You have to figure out a way to, how can we use this guy to his skill set? Like, just because... And he had a label as him being a bust or him being a bum or overrated or whatever the case may be. But it's sometimes you have to play to a player's skill set. Like, and Darvin Ham said the main thing that wanted him to take this Laker job is he's seen the disrespect that Russ was getting last year. And he said he wanted to, you know, be able to put him in a position where he can't get the respect he deserves. And so far, you know, he's doing it. So I love the way they look. I love the momentum that happens when Russ comes into the game off of the bench. Lonnie Walker, I love the way he's playing. Austin Reeves is still playing solid, even though it might not always show up in the stat sheet. But he's playing very, very solid, continuing over from last year. And, you know, Pat Beverly do Pat Beverly things. He hasn't really, you know, done much scoring lately, or not even too much defending, but he's not a liability yet, you know. So I like the way they look, and I think this move going forward will – I had them going top 5 anyway, whether Russ was coming off of the bench or not. But now I'm even more confident that they're going to be top 5.
All right. I thought I was delusional, you know, saying the Kings going to be 6, right? I don't have them making the playoffs, and it's because – it has nothing to do with Westbrook. It has to do everything with y'all team, like the fit. I don't think y'all just not going to be good enough at the end of the day. Now, if Westbrook were to stay, and I think if, you know, Darvin Ham gets a full off season and he get to pick his players, all that stuff, to format a team, y'all get more shooters, or y'all make some trades, which is y'all don't have no assets for real. Y'all see Westbrook, like you said, I agree with you. You gotta, when you have your players, you gotta play to their skill set. You can't, that's why, like in football, I don't get why people would trade for a man corner and make them play zone, you know? So it's just yeah. stupid. William Jackson III. All right. So my thing is, Westbrook, when he went to Houston, he had James Harden, another ball dominant player, but they had shooters around him and he floors in Houston. When you bring them in LA, right? It's not gonna be. It's not. And then look at D Wade, LeBron. D Wade is like more like a Westbrook type player. They don't shoot no threes, but it has snipers all around them. So D Wade could play all the ball and with the ball in his hands. Westbrook could have done that too in LA, but y'all just don't have no shooters. So, and then, but I, you know, into that back, I don't think he could play off the ball. He has to have the ball in his hand. Let me say that. All right, because y'all had shooters last year. All right, so but. I don't think y'all gonna make the playoffs only because I don't like y'all team. I don't think the team, the roster is good enough. I mean, I got Matt Ryan, being y'all best shooter. And Matt Ryan, I mean, he was doing DoorDash last year. He's like another Austin Reeves to me. You know, like a guy that's just good on the Lakers. But you put him on any other roster, he might not even get no burn for real. You know, so that's why I'm not confident y'all making the playoffs. And I still think we're gonna have a better record than y'all. I'm gonna keep mentioning that every time we on the show together.
Bring it on, top five. I'm ready for it all.
All right, let's get it. All right, let's go. Let's go with you, J-Mo.
All right. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Matt Ryan. I think he dropped me some Chick-fil-A off last year. So shout out to him on the DoorDash.
Well, look.
No, shout out to Bobbingham. Seriously though, that last play when y'all was down three, most people would have just gave it to LeBron, told him to do a sidestep. He drew a play up for his shooter to get wide open in the corner. So that's a coach.
Yep.
you don't see much coaching nowadays. So I just want to give a shout out to him on that. But as far as playoff team, see, it's kind of tricky because, like, when you say playoff, you mean make the play in and then get in, or it's top six certified? Because
playoffs, period.
Like, yeah, but I say because, you know, a play in is sneaky. Like, they can be the 10th best team and win that game. So, yeah. But I think they can get into the playoffs. I think they can get in the playoffs. You know, we got to see how, like, the next 10, 15 games or so go, because there's some good teams that's gotten off to some very slow starts. And there's some bad teams that have gotten off to some great starts that's not going to sustain. You know what I mean? So the thing is, the Lakers don't know which side they're on. They don't know if they're a good team or a bad team. So they don't know if this is a bad start or a terrible start. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna say they will, like, with this Russ coming off the bench, I'm gonna say they will not make the playoffs. I don't think they're gonna make it. I just had a certain change of heart. No, they're not making the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs.
I can't wait.
And before you go, Jeron, can I say this real quick?
They playing tonight too.
Dame got to come back too now. So.
Three game winning streak.
I got to make it.
Now look, we're giving a shout out to Darvin Ham, because he is he's doing what he's supposed to do. He know his players. He know Westbrook. Westbrook is an ego guy. You know, he got a big ego. You know, he don't take the blame in the media. Everybody's criticizing him. So Darvin Ham, every chance he gets, he shows everybody in the world, and Westbrook mainly, that he got his back. He hasn't said not one bad thing about Westbrook. Everything he said has been defending Westbrook. He said, my goal is to give him, like Blaze said, give him respect, and to make him the sixth man of the year. He said that, all right, in the press conference. He, like, kept saying, trust me, you're going to get your light back, all that stuff. So I like that, and that's what coaches got to do. Go ahead, Jamal.
Since we're doing shout-outs, I want to shout-out Russ, man. Because it just looks good to see him playing well, man, mm-hmm. and see him enjoying himself. I do want to say this, though. I don't like all this right now, because last year he was crying about everybody talking about him. So now you can't do that now. That's how I'm looking at it. You can't talk trash because you don't want anybody talking trash to you. So don't gloat. But I do like how he's been playing lately. But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm sorry. And my reason is the same as George, Joe. They're just not a good team to me offensively. Defensively, they picked it up a lot. They've got more defensive-minded guys. They got a little younger. play with a little more intense. They got a coach that's going to get up in them, you know, with a little more backbone. So they have stepped it up a bit on the defensive end. The offense is terrible. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league. They shoot 26% from the three. I believe they're like the second worst in points per game, or they top five worst in points per game. So I don't think they're going to be able to score enough. I don't think their defense is good enough to stop people to the point where they're going to win enough games. So unless they make some moves as far as getting some more guys that can play off ball and that can spread the floor out for AD and Bron and Russ. Oh, one more thing I want to say. I put my tablet down for this. LeBron James. I said you was going to be top five player this year, player.
Oh, yeah.
You coming out here. You're not even trying to shoot in the first quarter. You're not even trying to get your guys involved. You're not being impactful. You're not. He's not. It literally looks like he just want to be out there and score. He doesn't want to be the guy that does it, you know? That's why he want Russ to step up. He want AD to step up, other guys to step up, because he just want to be along the ride, get to the playoffs, and then he going to step up. No, Bron, you have to be the guy. You have to be the guy that initiates winning. Like, I'm sorry. The reason why I said like LeBron in the first place was just because he controlled the game. I never thought he was the most best offensive guy. I was never the biggest fan of LeBron, to be honest. But I like the fact he controlled the game. He had that power in him. He had a sorry team. Not sorry, but you know what I mean. He going against the teams with four all-stars. He got just him and the shooters and stuff. He controlling the game. He doesn't do that no more. I know he's in year 20. I know he's in year 20. I do know that. But he shoots too many bad shots.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I think that's going to kill the Lakers. He shoots bad shots. Patrick Beverley thinks he can come down and pull up every once in a while. I went, no, bro, you never pull up. Only time he pull up a three when you hot, and that's a heat check. Only time he pulls up a three. He pulls up sometimes, y'all have an offensive possession, get the offensive rebound.
Yeah.
He'll get the ball, he'll shoot it. Like, what are you doing? Reset the offense, get a bucket. I do want to give another shout out to Austin Reeves. I like Austin Reeves. What he does doesn't show up on the scoreboard, but he plays hard, and he knows how to play with superstars. He knows that LeBron's the superstar, AD's Russ. He gonna play off them, you know. He know how to get he gonna feed LeBron. He gonna feed, you know what I'm saying. He does that. He not a role player that trying to get his. He know how to play ball. So, but I think y'all gotta step it up on the offense, and y'all even have any kind of shot in the West and making the playoffs. Scoring 107 points a game ain't enough. So that's my take.
Yeah, I just want to chime in real quick. So I agree, but that was before the previous two games. So it's like as of the previous two games, our points per game has went up. Our offense is more polished. You know what I'm saying? It's not as stagnant, because when you have Russ, LeBron, AD, Lonnie Walker, and Patrick Beverley out there, it's stagnant. You know what I'm saying? So. Like, it wasn't much movement. Nobody's cutting. It wasn't much going on. So you take Russ out of the equation. Now you get Lonnie Walker in there. You get Troy Brown Jr. You get Patrick Beverley in there. And they move around more. They cut into the basket more, you know. So the offense is already a little more, you know, it's finding this rhythm more with Russ on the bench. And you put in Troy Brown Jr. and Patrick Beverley. And as far as... Yeah, and then when Russ comes off of the bench, it's like he just clicking on all cylinders. One thing I do know about him is like he don't always really need shooters. He just needs the ball, and he needs other guys to be out there. He's going to like find something to happen. Whether that equates to winning basketball, as everybody say that it doesn't, which is he hasn't won yet, so it doesn't. But he still knows how to get wins. He knows how to take a team to the playoffs. So I like what I've seen so far. You know, even before – we won these two games. I liked what I seen out of the first five games, even though we lost. I like what I seen for the most part from how the team was playing, because I'm judging them off of last year. So if you're judging them off of last year, they're already, in my opinion, this is a whole 360, in my opinion. And I know last year was more shooters, but that's all it was. It was just shooters. They had no effort. They had no fight. They had no tenacity. They had no energy. They had none of that. You know? And Russ was the only one, and Austin Reeves, that was doing that every single night. And last year was, as everybody say, it was a bunch of old guys on the team. So now you get rid of all the old guys, even though they make a shoot, but the shooting then equates to no win. So you get rid of all the old guys. You get some younger guys in who could score. Lonnie Walker been scoring like 20 points every game this season so far. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's really emerging, and he's elevating himself to that third or fourth option. You know what I'm saying? So I like the way he's playing. He might not be a name, but the guy's balling, you know? So, and even Matt Ryan, whether he was doing DoorDash or not, the guy's shooting in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ain't doing DoorDash now. You ain't right now. You a shooter. That's what you get. That's what you're getting paid to do. So, you know, I like what I see so far, you know, just from watching the games. I like what I seen before we won. And my position still top five.
Yeah, I was telling J-Mo the other day that I agree with your premise about Westbrook winning games. I agree with that. You know, like, I think I was telling you, J-Mo, or Javon, but I said if it was both of y'all. I think we was on three-way. But we was talking about LeBron, and I said I think that if you take away AD and LeBron and you just let Westbrook, you know, just be the guy, he probably – you know, probably not just West because the West is OC, but he could win. He'll win more games probably without them than all three of them, only because
I believe
every single game he plays hard. He don't take no game all in regular season. In the regular season, people take all games, all that stuff. So, but once he get to the playoffs, that's the problem. Everybody plays hard in the playoffs. Everybody studies you in the playoffs, and that's where he gets stagnant. But in the regular season, he will win some games. You know, he'll win some games. So I do think if he was the man, they would win. They probably win more games. You know, probably sound blasphemous because we talking about LeBron and AD, but I'm just saying that's what I believe. So, but yeah, I don't think that'll make.
I mean, it's not a bad take though, because I mean, every time Russ joins a new team, he starts off slow. Like every time he started off Houston, then he took off. He started off slow in Washington, then he took off. You know what I'm saying? He started off, however, he started off with the Lakers.
Terrible.
And we waiting on him to take off. We still waiting. You know,
he gaining himself right now. He's preparing to take off.
All three of his last three games off the bench been solid.
We boarding the plane. We ain't take off yet. We boarding the plane right now.
And with him coming in like this, how he is with the rotation, it's allowing him to get spurts of having your own team.
Yes. You know?
A lot of times where LeBron ain't in, and it's him and AD. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
I like what Dominic's doing.
He got to play better, man.
But Frank Vogel wanted to take him off the bench,
but Frank Vogel's
not the right guy.
But listen, Frank Vogel ain't had no game plan either. So you ain't gonna come in there. You could watch it. You watch them last year, you watch them this year, you tell they playing totally different, offense and defense, setting more off-ball screens and all that. Like, they wasn't running nothing last year with Frank Vogel. It was, I take this shot, you take that shot, I do this, you do that. It was, everybody was taking their own turns to do whatever they wanted, from Carmelo to Avery Bradley, you know what I'm saying? Every last one of them. You know what I'm saying? Malik Monk to LeBron to Russ to AD, they was all taking turns. So it ain't no way you can, you know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna tell Russ, okay, well, the reason we ain't winning is because we gotta try something different. You gotta come off the bench when your coaching is subpar, you know. So
yeah, I agree with you.
A person like Darvin Ham, they bought into their system, you know what I'm saying? From preseason, like, they was playing different. So, like, I like it. I like the hire when they first hired him because I knew he came from Milwaukee dealing with Giannis. And just in my opinion, similarities, Russ and Giannis are very similar. Russ is just shorter. And I felt like if Darvin Ham can find a way to get Giannis to maximize his potential without having a big bag and without being able to shoot so great, you know what I'm saying? He could do the same thing for us. That's how I felt when the hire was first made. So I like what I see so far.
Another thing that helps the Darvin Ham hiring to me is that he used to play. Mm-hmm. And not only did he used to play, he was like an enforcer.
And he won the title.
Yeah, he was an enforcer, bro. Like he was PJ Tucker. You know what I'm saying? In a way more physical league. So, and he's 6'7", over 250 or whatever pounds. So he could stand eye to eye, toe to toe with whatever player got something to say.
Yeah.
So I think that played a role.
He won the Udonis Haslam title.
He played.
But he was there though. He was there.
Yeah. I agree. I like what I see. From, I don't think Darvinham is the problem. I think the problem is, like you said, Russ don't need shooters. But y'all, the Lakers need shooters. I mean, it's just to spread the floor out, open up the pass, open up the lanes, you know, like open it up so AD can work, LeBron can work, Russ can work, Lonnie Walker can slash. Because he's, you know, how to shoot, he's a slasher. I know you saw that dunk the other night. He flushed that jump. Yeah. So, and that's when he's at his best for real, when he's getting to the basket. So,
yeah.
I think that y'all don't need more. Y'all do need more shooters. Y'all can possibly make it work. You have to start shooting less threes, though. Y'all shoot too many threes, I feel like, for one, because y'all don't have the shooters to shoot them. Like, Patrick Beverly should be more of a catch and shoot guy when he open. He, all that pulling up, he should never pull up. I hate, every time I watch that game, he does it.
Like, well, his form is not even built for him to pull up off the dribble. Like, what is
he doing? He's really good at catching, shooting off in the corner. He'd be knocking those guys down. I'm not going to lie. So, if y'all make it, it's going to be a 10th, 9th or 10th seed play-in. But I don't see it happening.
Look, the Knicks, look, in 2019, when the Knicks lost to Trae Young in the playoffs, they were the, like, what, a top three, top five defense in the league, and they only shot 10 threes a game because they knew what they do. So if they playing great defense, they didn't have to shoot a lot of threes, you know what I mean? They didn't have to score 130 points because they playing good defense. Fact. So that's a way the Lakers can make it work. They can shoot less threes and lean more on their defense and get smarter looks on offense and make, and, you know, change a little bit.
That's a good point.
What happens when you shoot a three? Long rebounds, transition for the other team, fast breaks. That's why I hate it when we plan on walk. Somebody pull up the shot, like, dang, you don't bounce ball, it's time to run again, you know. So that definitely can help them out a lot, help them save a lot of possessions. So we're going to see, though. And Darvin and Ham, we trust, right, Blaze?
And Ham, we trust.
I
like him. I like what I see so far. I do. I like his whole approach from day one, you know, how he went in there and set the tone. He made the narrative, you know what I'm saying? He ain't let nobody else do it. He created his own narrative and went in there. This is what we going to do. This is how we going to do it. They all bought in, you know? I like it. The energy different.
It's a leader. That's something what Brooklyn needs. Something like that. Mm-hmm. All right. So look, make sure y'all like this video. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share this video. And once we end it, you can go back and watch live. Not live, but you can rewatch it. And we're going to create segment of four different videos for each segment, so you can watch that too right after we end the live. And appreciate y'all for using our comment section, staying active. We appreciate that, right? And so we're going to end it by, like we always do, give your last words, shout out to your, you know, for, you know, for your squad and all that stuff. So we're going to do Blaze, J-Mo, and Javon.
Okay. First off, great win from Philly last night. I see you in that. My bad. I see you in them comments, Kevin. Great win last night, 8-0, baby. But back to the Lakers. Laker Nation, stay patient, hang tight. I know it was rough last year. We had to deal with all the slander, watching all these shows. Okay, J-Mo, watching all these shows, our friends talking bad to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was bad last year. It was bad. We endured it all, and better days are ahead. You know, we got a guy. It's a light at the end of the tunnel. And Donovan Ham is, you know, providing that light for us. So we're going to get there. We're going to be in this playoffs this year, y'all. Trust me. We're going to be there. And I'm telling you, top five.
Ham, we trust.
Okay. So I just want to point out that some of these basketball, some of the viewers that know me as a basketball guy may not know that I'm a Dolphins fan.
Okay.
I just want them to know that we are undefeated with Tua, and I'm praying on his health. I also want to give a shout out to my boy Tyreek Hill for, you know, almost, you know, arm's reach of clinching the Offensive Player of the Year award. Okay,
yeah.
Now to the Sixers. Stay patient, y'all. He gonna get off because I'm talking about the Sixers.
that's that Lakers service. If I kick him out.
Okay, so James Harden is going to be coming back healthy. Like I said, we know he can give us 30. I haven't checked the stats yet, but I'm sure Maxey is doing his thing. And Embiid is supposed to play tonight, but I think his back is still, you know, questionable. So we are going to be good, y'all. One of these days, y'all going to see that DeAnthony Melton was a great pickup. One of these days, he's going to have a great game. You know what I'm saying? I just want him to get into a game where they have him check the other team's good player for a good amount of minutes because he's a very good defender. So I think that can get him into the game. He's going to be the guy that replaces because in case they try to get Thibault. So I think he's going to be the guy. But
anyway, oh, I know he's that good on defense.
Yeah. Gotta watch him. So the Sixers, we good, y'all. Let's see where we at halfway through the season because, you know, health is huge. But as far as playoffs, we healthy. I still like us. Trust the process.
Yeah. Shout out my Steelers, man. We're on bye week this week. Young Kenny Pickett and the game. Gonna get it together. TJ Watt back. We picked up Jackson. Man on man to man corner. Nothing, the sky's the limit, fellas. We 2-6. Let's get it. Enough of them. Now I gotta talk about the rookie of the year. Hands down, Paolo Banchero. Orlando Magic fans, we have one. We have a guy. He's gonna be a superstar in this league. Also, I like Bobo. Bobo is showing why the Denver Nuggets loafed. They should have kept him. Coach Mose. Paolo is our best player. Run through him. That is all.
Yes.
Is he tripping? Did you see the buckets he was getting last game? He brought us back.
Man,
he all had Wiggins and Draymond.
Hey, look, all 22 was a bucket.
Bucket.
All 22. It was except no light. Backdoor layup. Wide open three. All every bucket he had was.
What about when Wiggins was checking him? He thought the double team was coming. He turned his back and then sized them up and sidestepped. Oh my goodness.
Look at Carl. Matt Thurman got 14 and a half. Carl, please.
Yeah, I seen him.
The guy gonna have a good year. He's not winning rookie of the year. Paolo has his own team, so every night he's getting his looks.
And then by halfway through the season, Paolo might be getting even more looks, getting more comfortable. Now they're going to know he's the best player. He'd be averaging 25, 20, 30.
Yeah, exactly. 25, and it's guys around the league taking notice of him. They're like, this dude's the real deal. I don't hear nobody saying that about other bro. I'm not saying he's not that good because I like him. Don't get me wrong. Mathurin, for the pay, he tight. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. If Paolo wasn't playing, he probably would win rookie of the year, but Paolo is just on another level, man. He don't just score. He rebound. He defend really good, and he pass the ball. So his role is going to get bigger and bigger as the season go on, and we're going to see. Off the bench, on the bench, I don't care. He ain't winning.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for staying to the end. We appreciate that. That's all we have.
Joe, you got to shout your mom out, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we straight, man. You know, we good. We got cheated by Tyler Hero. It's all good. We got cheated. Referees, listen, we don't want to hear a report. We already know it. We got the footage, bro. I hate when they do that. I ain't trying to get here. So, but it's all good. I like what Blaze said about him. I love Mike Brown. Mike Brown, man. Mike Brown is a coach, man. Like he's legit slowly changing our culture. You can see the effort on defense. Now on defense, we're not pure yet because that takes time. But we got a new group, and offensively, we already one of the best offensive teams in the league. We're like top 7 in assists. That says a lot. You know, so even when somebody goes down on injury, we still going to be floating because we got a system. We're not depending on pick and roll or none of that stuff or isolation games. So I love what I see. Shout out to my man Kevin Herter, right? Probably one of the best shooters in the league. And thank you, Lakers, for Malik Monk. Thank you for Malik Monk. Man, looking nice so far. All right? Yeah. Playoffs, y'all. Mike Brown, of course, yeah. All right. So that's all we got for y'all today. And we'll see y'all next episode. Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter where you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all at the next episode.